Please stand. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter. I'm going to read verse 1, and then we're going to skip over to verse 15. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as they shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring unto themselves swift destruction." Verse number 15, "which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. There are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire." Let's pray. Father, again, I do thank you for the wonderful privilege of prayer. And I do pray for our brother in Christ, Brother Ali, today. We ask you, God, to simply do the miracle that needs to be done, heal his body, and certainly for Mrs. Ali and their family, we pray, Father, for extra grace and strength. We pray for Greg this morning, Father. Ask you, God, to help him heal his body and bring him back soon. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Verse number 1 of chapter 2 tells us who it is he's dealing with in this chapter. He's dealing with false prophets. Those who are religious, oh yes, they're religious, but they're false. They even come to the place where the Bible tells us they deny the blood of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of prophets in the world, all kinds of teaching. But we must remember that the Bible, the Word of God, is God's Word. And it is true. And what it says about Jesus Christ is absolute truth. His blood shed on Calvary is what paid the cost for you and I's sin. You can't go to heaven any other way except through the blood of Christ, be washed in his precious blood. But yet Satan has his teachers also. He has them all across this country and all across the world, denying the very truth of the Word of God. Religious? Oh yes, they're religious, but they're denying the truth. In chapter 2, we see in verse number 1 that they're very cunning in the way that they handle things and the way they do things. We find down in verse number 19, it says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage." We find here that they're very deceiving people. They're deceived themselves, and they're out to deceive other people. So we find all through these scriptures, if you read chapter 2, there is much said about the false prophet. That is always a danger anywhere, is a false prophet that would teach other than what the Word of God says. And that is a dangerous thing. We always want to make sure, folk, that you get in a good church that will preach and teach the right things of the Word of God. That to believe the Bible, not try to take things out of it and say this is for somebody else, or this doesn't mean that, or this doesn't mean this. No, we take the Bible and understand and know that the Bible is God's Word. And it is true. And anybody that says it isn't is a liar. God's Word is absolutely true, and it always will be, you see. So we find he's dealing here with false prophets here. And he tells them in verse 22, and that's basically the verse that I'm going to be preaching from, "But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. In other words, he's trying to show us that things may look a certain way, but are not that way. You know, we could take a glass of water up here, good water, and you could drink that and take care of your thirst. You could take that same glass of water and you could put some poison in it, and it would look just the same. It would look like it's clear and good. But you could mix that poison in it, and if you drank it, you would die. What I'm saying is, not always is everything what it seems to be. You know, a person who does painting and likes paintings understands that there's those who are original paintings and there's those that are fake paintings. It may look the same, but they are different. They tell me about diamonds. They say there's diamonds that certainly look like diamonds, but they're fake diamonds. I don't know whether you ever thought about it or not. Have you ever heard of a guinea pig? You ever heard what it is? You know what? That's a false statement. They're not a guinea and they're not a pig. Do you ever eat grape nuts? They're not grapes and they're not nuts. Amen? You see, so you got to be careful this here, how you get fooled on some of these things. Amen? That's real preaching, isn't it, Brother Brewer? But anyway, what we're simply trying to do is simply say this. Things are not always what they look like. And just because a teacher may get up even and put a Bible in his hand and teach some things, we better be sure he's teaching according to the Bible, the Word of God. Better be sure that he is true to God's Word and not a false prophet. And that's what he's dealing here in here. And he's telling us that it's the same way in spiritual things. You see, it's just not here we find that a dog is returned to his own vomit. We find that a hog will return to his own wallow. And he tells us in spiritual things that we need to look for those kind of things. I don't know how far a man can go in religion and still be lost. I don't know about that. All I know is there's many people who are religious has never received Christ as their personal Savior. I do know that. You see, how much we look like an heir of heaven and yet still be a child of wrath, I don't have all those answers. I don't know how far we can go. But I know there is people who try to look like an heir of heaven, and they're not, but they're children of wrath. So I'm just simply saying these things, not in a way to try to scare anybody, but a way to try to encourage people. Be sure you know you're saved. Be sure, above all doubt, that you know for sure that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and that you're on your way to heaven because of the shed blood of Christ washed you and cleansed you from all your sin. You see, that is very, very important. Over in the book of Galatians, we don't have to turn there, but the 5th chapter, it gives and speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. Even those can be imitated. If you look at the fruit of the Spirit of love, there's no doubt that unsaved people have a certain amount of love. They can love each other, they can love their children, they can love the things of this world, but it's different kind of love than what God speaks of in Galatians, the 5th chapter, being a fruit of the Spirit. That love comes from God. That love comes from down within, because the Holy Spirit of God is within us, and it's a different kind of love. We could look at the joy and peace that people might have. The world has a certain amount of joy because the world's things has become a part of their life and they enjoy doing them. They can have a certain amount of peace as far as they've got a good job and things are going well with them. They have a certain kind of peace inside that sounds good, but it's not the peace of God. What God is talking about here in the book of Galatians is the fruit of the Spirit. And those can be imitated, and we've got to be very careful about them. The peace that comes with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us as a child of God is a special kind of peace. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that allows you, when you go to bed of a night, to lay your head down on your pillow and say, Lord, if I don't wake up in the morning here, I'll see you in heaven. That's the kind of peace that we're talking about. Now, certainly you can have a certain amount of peace in the world, but it's different than what God's talking about. Also, there's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. And certainly people do things like this for the world. They benefit the world sometimes through some of their good works and their long-suffering and even being gentle sometimes, but it's a different kind. When we're talking about that which comes within, it's something that comes within us knowing that we are God's child. And we're long-suffering because our God is long-suffering. We try to be gentle because our God is gentle. We try to have mercy and goodness in us. Why? Because God is good and merciful. So we do those things. And also he talks about meekness and temperance. Those things can be imitated by the world and still not be saved. See, you look at all of those things that are fruit of the Spirit comes because the Spirit of God liveth in you. And those things are something that will naturally come out of us simply because the Spirit of God is there. So what we're simply trying to share with you this morning, there's a great difference between those that have new life in Christ and they that don't. And all I want to do today is simply try to stir your heart and help you to understand, and maybe at the end of this service you'll be able to say, you know I'm saved. I know if I died today I'd go to heaven. What a wonderful thing that is. And you also may at the end of this service be saying, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I truly have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior or not. That's a wonderful thing too, because you'll have an opportunity to come and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who loves you and died for you. You know, I do believe this. I believe it would be an awful thing to presume that we were saved and die in our sins. That'd be a horrible thing. Walking around thinking we're saved, thinking that that you've been a pretty good guy, pretty good Joe, and everything's all right, and you've never realized that it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away your sins. You see, that would be a horrible thing to die in that condition. That's why we find here in 2 Peter, the second chapter, telling us and talking to us about a dog that returns to his vomit. We will discuss that a little later. It's not a very nice thought, but that's what happens to a dog, you know. But anyway, and a hog returns to his wallow. And so those are things that we're going to cover today. And what I want you to do is during the sermon, just self-examine yourself. Let God examine you. That's fair, isn't it? Preacher won't be doing it. I won't be questioning any of you. But let the Holy Spirit of God just dwell and let Him speak to your heart during this time. See where you are with the Lord. I'm going to go over to the book of Galatians for a few moments, and I'm going to start in the chapter 4 of the book of Galatians. I'm going to read verse number 22 and verse number 23. He says, "For it is written," that's the fourth chapter of Galatians, verse 22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he whom was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise." Now, if you're familiar with your Bibles, you know that Abraham did have two sons. The first son was born Ishmael, and the second one was Isaac. Now, Ishmael was born of Hagar, which was of an Egyptian that Abraham brought back out of Egypt with him. This was not the promised child that God had promised Abraham. This was of their own doings, and they had decided, Abraham and Sarah had decided, for him to go into his bondmaid, Hagar, and she had a child. But the real child, the one that God was promising, was Isaac. And he was the one that was the promised one, and through him came the lineage of Jesus Christ. So I'm simply saying to you, there is always the one side and the other. There's always the world side of the flesh, and there's always the spiritual side. Folks, the Bible speaks in John, the third chapter of John, about the water being born of water. Let's face it, if you are born again into God's family, if you're not born again into God's family, you are born again physically. Everybody can see that today. I can see you. I know you're born physically. I know I'm born physically. I can touch me. I can see me if I look in the mirror. Don't like to do that. But I can do that, you see, and I know that's true. But also the second birth then is the spiritual birth. And that's what he's talking, the two difference here. One is of the flesh, one is of the promise. Ishmael was of the flesh. The other one, Isaac, was of the promise of God. And so he gives this great, wonderful illustration. But if you notice this, both of them called Abraham their father. Both of them lived in the same house. Both of them growed up together. Old Ishmael was a little bit older than Isaac, but they still lived in the same place. Ishmael was the stranger to the covenant, or he was of the flesh, and Isaac was the heir of the promise. So it is also with Jacob and Esau. If you will go back and look at that and read that story, Jacob and Esau was born at the same time. And yet they was born of the same mother and at the same time. But the Bible says that Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Esau was one that represented the flesh. Jacob was one that represented the spirit, you see. And here we have two young people came into the world at the very same time. Two little babies came into the world at the very same time. Esau just a little ahead of Jacob, but they came in at the very same time. One put their faith in God and one didn't. You see, we may be in the same church. I mean, we could be in the same church today. We might go to the same church. We might join the same church. We might be baptized in the same waters. We have a baptism back here. We're going to baptize today. And we might even be baptized in the same waters. We may partake of the same communion table service. We may do that, you see. We may sing the same songs. And beautiful songs they are, the old songs of the faith. I love to hear them sing. You see, we may offer even the same prayer. We may put in our offering plate the same tithes. But still, one could be of God and one could be of the flesh. What I'm simply saying is all of those things that I mentioned about going to church and being baptized and partaking of the communion service and singing and offering prayer and paying tithes is not what gets us to heaven. Those things are good things. They're right things. Well, if we're saved, they certainly should do those. But let me say to you, that's not what gets you to heaven. So it could be that this person sitting here in these services, I'm not saying they are, I'm saying that though, just to help us. A person could be here and very religious, very faithful, and yet has never been born into God's family. Never been a time when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And they can look back to that time and said, I'm trusting Jesus Christ alone for Him to take me to heaven when I die, because He's paid for my sins. And yet there's the other person over here that knows for sure that he's saved and ready for heaven. I'm just simply saying to you, it's not the outward actions that truly make up the new birth. It's what happens in here. There must be a time when you've been born into the family of God. And God gives us illustrations, see, concerning those things. If you'll look at verse number 22 and 23 again in the book of Galatians, he says in the fourth chapter, if you look, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, that by one bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by the promise. All he's simply trying to share with us there is the difference, the same as origin, the same mother and the same father, but different because one trusted God and one did not trust God. Simply saying to you that every person is going to be responsible for your own salvation. You will make the decision whether you receive Christ or not. No one can do it for you. No one can force you to do it. No one can do that whatsoever. You will make the decision whether you come to Jesus Christ and have your sins washed away. You will make that decision personally. Now, what I can do is help you, and I can tell you what you need to do, and I can tell you that it's wonderful if you get saved, and you're going to go to heaven if you get saved. I can tell you also you'll spend an eternity in the devil's hell if you do not get saved. I can tell you all those things, but I cannot make you get saved. All I'm saying is God loves you, and God wants you to know Him as personal Savior, you see. In other words, let me just ask you a few questions. How was it that you was converted? Think back a moment. Do you remember how you was converted? You remember where you was when you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Was you by yourself when this happened? Or was a preacher with you or some friend with you when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Did somebody persuade you to do something? Or was it of the Holy Spirit of God convicting, knowing you needed to be saved? Or was it just some person who said you need to do this and you did it not because you was convicted but just because they told you that's what you ought to do? That's not salvation. What I'm simply saying and trying to stir your heart to, look back at the time when you were saved. Look back at that very moment when you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's very, very important. John Pitts over here this morning, he came to me. We in our Sunday school class has been teaching kind of through the book of Jeremiah as a survey, kind of going through and looking at some of the chapters. And one of the chapters we looked at this morning was the potter's house. And I had preached a sermon some time back on that subject out of there, the potter's house, and John came to me and said, you know, that's the sermon you preached when I got saved. He remembered that time. He knew that time. He responded to that time. You see, and what I'm simply saying to you, you don't have to know the date. You don't have to know all this, but you ought to be able to go back and say, I was born again. I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, I know I am ready for heaven. You see, that's the way it should be. Was it just some maybe excitement that you just caught up in, and maybe you become religious all at once? What I'm simply saying to you, we ought to understand that the new birth has to be the operation of the Spirit of God in us. He has to born us into God's family and save us. There has to be a time when we're born into God's family, you see. And of course, the Bible tells us only that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The flesh is flesh, but the Spirit is spirit. New birth, you see, born into God's wonderful family. So I just ask you right now, as you, and of course, don't want you to answer out loud, but inside, ask yourself, has there been that day? Do I know a time when I trusted Christ as my personal Savior and I know I'm born again? See, you need to ask yourself that. And if you can say yes, well, I say praise the Lord for you. Thank God for that. But if you can't say yes, at the end of this sermon, I wish you'd come forward and let us take God's word, help you to know how to be saved. You can walk from this place knowing you're born into God's family, you see, God's way, and you won't have to worry anymore. Lay your head down on your pillow of the night and know that you're resting, and if nothing, anything does happen, you'll wake up in heaven. You can't get it any better than that, see. And God loves everyone, and He wants everyone to be saved, you see. Back in the book of Genesis, I want to go back there for just a few moments. 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. Chapter 17, verse number 20. And here again, he's talking about Ishmael here. And he says, "As for Ishmael, I have heard thee." That is Genesis 17, verse number 20. "Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this time in the next year." Once again, he gives the two sons. He gives Ishmael and he gives Isaac. And he says that Ishmael is going to be made a great country, in which he was. If you go over to the Middle East now and you see the Arabs, they're descendants of Ishmael. That's why the Arabs and the Israelites don't get along. Because Ishmael is of the flesh and Israel is of the spiritual. What I'm saying, there's always been battles. Ishmael and Jacob and Isaac's people has always battled. But what he's simply telling us here, Ishmael, you see, was not depending upon the promise of the covenant. He was going to be made a great country, and certainly he was, a great people. But Isaac, we find, he was concerned about the promise. He was like his father, who was looking for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. You see, that's what he was looking toward. That's what we need to look toward. We need to look to that foundation, which is Jesus Christ. You see, and he's the only foundation that we can stand on. If you stand upon the promises of this old world, if you begin to build for this old world, you're going to have a fooling coming when eternity comes. What I'm simply saying to you, you see, you need to get your eyes on Christ and the future. Ishmael had his eyes on the present. He became a great nation. But God's people must put their eyes upon the future. They must look to what's going to happen over here. You see, multitudes of times we get so deceived. And we look around and we see all these things happening, all these trials and tribulations that Christians have, and the world and the way it's going, how terrible it is. But folks, listen, I've got some good news. It's not going to be like that over there. It's not going to be like that. And that's where our eyes must be. That's where our hearts must be, upon the things of the Lord. Looking past this life into the future. Being with God forevermore, you see. That's what's important, you see. Where are your hopes at? What are you depending on? Are you waiting for someone to leave you a bunch of money so you can prosper? More than likely, you're going to wait a long time. More than likely. But is that your hope, you see? Is your hope in some steadily growing business? Is that where your hope is, your trust is? I didn't say you might not have a business and may not be prospering. Nothing wrong with that, but don't let that be your hope. Your hope must be with Christ, you see. Is your hope in the leaders of this country? Well, my friend, I hope not. I hope not. We put a telephone out here in the trailer, And Brother Charles had a red phone. It was red, bright red. And he brought it for home and put it out there, just as red as you can be. That's the kind of phone that they have in the White House over in Moscow. It's called the hotline. And if anybody picks up that phone and there's someone on there that you don't understand, it's not Yeltsin, it's Clinton. Amen. So I'm just simply saying to you folks that we just got to understand, you know, there's a difference. Amen. There's just a difference. So what are you waiting for? Is your hope in this nation? Is your hope in the promises of the leadership of this nation? Oh, I hope not, and I'm not saying that unkindly, because our hope must be way past that. Our hope must be in God. Our hope must be in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our hope must be, you see. We must look beyond the grave and look to what's going to happen past that. Our life here is a very short life. Most of you can understand that, especially if you're getting up around 40 or a little over, you realize it's passing faster and faster and faster. And it does. It just seems like it's just going, 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 you know. And it will come fast to an end one of these days. But our hope is not in this life. Our hope is in the future, with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. So I say to you again, you see, God has provided all that needs to be provided. He died on the cross, you see. That's where our hope began, in Christ. He arose from the dead. He's in heaven now interceding for us. And He's coming again. That's the hope, you see, for the Christians. That's what we look forward to, you see. But we find here, and it's an illustration back in the book of 2 Peter, it's an illustration that the world's hope here is in something that won't carry them past the grave. And in fact, those people who he's speaking of in this portion of Scripture are those who will return to the vomit of this old world. And we've got to realize your hope, my hope, must be in Christ, you see. Not in the things of this world, you see. When it came time, and I'll go back to Ishmael for just a moment. When it came time for Isaac to be weaned, Ishmael was a little bit up there in age. And he mocked Isaac. And he fought against Isaac. And there was always that friction between them, you see. And I'm saying again, listen, the worst persecution that ever comes to any individual is within their own family. You know, you can stand some of the persecution this world gives. Because you look at it and you say, you know, that's just the way it is. But when that persecution comes within your own family, that's hard to handle. That's very difficult. And that's what Isaac had to fight. Persecution from Ishmael, you see, right in his own family, you see. But we find, you see, that God wants your trust in the Lord, completely in Him forever and ever, you see. You ever get anybody to call you a fanatic because you want to talk about spiritual things? Do you enjoy talking about spiritual things? Do you enjoy sometimes just sitting around talking about the Lord? I mean, that's a good thing to do, don't you? But do you ever get mocked for it? Ever get laughed at for it? You know what, for a Christian, what else should we talk about? I mean, I know we're not going to talk about the Lord all the time, but folks, He's our main subject. I mean, amen? He's the one we're looking for. We're the one we're waiting for. So you see, sometimes we get mocked because we love the Lord and we want to say some wonderful things about Him, you see. Have you ever been called holier than thou when you do that? Sometimes that's what they do. You know, they call you holier than thou, you see. But I'm just simply saying, folks, if you're spiritual inside, it ought to come out. If you're really, truthfully, a child of God and the Spirit lives within you, should not that come out? Well, certainly it should, you see. We got to understand that God expects us to be faithful unto Him and speak of the wonderful things of God. But you can't do that if your mind is on the world all the time. You got to do that when your mind is on the Lord. All right. Then we find again Isaac and Ishmael. They lived together at the very same time. But finally came to a time when they had to part. They could not live together. Listen, believers and unbelievers can come to the same church, but pretty soon there'll be a little bit of division. They won't really like each other too much for too long a period of time. You see, because the Spirit of God must draw us to one another. And so it could happen. There could be believers and unbelievers in the same church, you see. As a
believer in Christ begins to grow in the Lord. Those that are not in Christ begin to pull away from those that are growing in the Lord. That's just the way it is, you see. I know a young preacher one time, he was just preaching. One of these new breeds, these young breed, you know. Now, an old young breed don't have to be like this, but some of them are like this. But he was telling the old preacher, he said, "You know, the only time I ever hear you preach, all you talk about is the blood, the blood, the blood. And all you talk about is a virgin birth and virgin birth." He said, "You're never going to catch up to our day." The old preacher looked at him and said, "Son, you're absolutely right. I never will catch up because me and you is going two different directions." I want to tell you something, folks. There's a lot of things going on in Christianity. We got to realize where we're going. There's a lot of separation being done out there. What do you want to stand for? You want to stand for the things of Christ, or you want to stand for the things of this world? Separation is taking place out there all the time. Can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what the Bible says in the book of Amos. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You see, God's people will draw one to another. But the world's people are not going to like you very much. You're going to be persecuted. The world ain't going to like you very much, you see, because you're different. You've got a different spirit within you, you see. We find also Ishmael was sent away, but he soon ceased to regret it. Ishmael was sent away from his home, but he soon forgot it and soon quit regretting it. Why? Because he all at once began to prosper out there in that world. You see, Ishmael was like a dog who returned to his own vomit. Folks, the scripture that I read to you here in 2 Peter, I want you to listen for a few moments. When a dog returns to his vomit, do you know why he does that? Because he's a dog. That's what dogs do. It's natural for a dog to do that. Why does a dog bark? It's natural for a dog to bark. Amen? Right? Why does a cat meow? That's right. You got it. Why does a cat always walk under your feet?
They're stupid.
Yeah. Because they're a cat. I've got two cats, patience and tribulation. As soon as I step out that door, that cat gets right underneath my feet. I say, "Cat, get out of the way." And he just looks like this and lays down and rolls over. But you know why he does that? He's a cat. He acts like that. Do you know why a hog turns to his wallow again? Because he's a hog. You can clean a hog up. I mean, you scrub him up, put ribbons all over him, make him look the prettiest thing in the world. You let him loose, and the first place he'll head is for an old wallow hole. We was driving somewhere the other day, and Donna said, "Look at those pigs out there." And they had wallowed out of place, and there was some water in it, and they were just moving like this and laying down in it, flopping in it, you know. And I thought, you know why they like that? Because they're a hog. Did you ever see a sheep wallow in the mud? Did you ever see a sheep return to his vomit? Why? A sheep's a sheep. I'm going to let you preach next time. He's got all the good answers. You know why? That's right. Now, you know what God's telling us? You see, if you're a false prophet or you're false, you'll return to your vomit. You know why? Because you're false. You'll go back to the water hole, the old wallowing in the water. Why? Because you're a hog. You're not what you're putting on, you are. But a sheep does not do those things. Did you ever notice a sheep can't even defend himself? It's interesting. I'm not going to preach that to you, but 23rd chapter of Psalms, a sheep cannot defend himself. He does not bite. He has no way of defending himself whatsoever. I'll guarantee you a dog will bite. Guarantee you a hog will too. I've been chased over more fences with hogs than you want to shake a stick at. I used to work for a guy who raised hogs, and I'm telling you, you get an old sow out there that has little ones, and you get in around them, she's going to get rid of you fast. And I've leaped over many fences getting out of the way. But you know, I never had to worry about a sheep. Never seen a sheep ever try to bite me. You see, the difference is this. If you're a sheep, you won't wallow in the wallow. If you're a sheep, you won't go back to the vomit and eat it. When you become a sheep, your life changes. Amen. You become something special. You're a sheep of God, and you follow Him. What I want you to know just today, I just want you to try to self-examine a few minutes. You see, I can't look in any heart out here. I wouldn't even try. That's not my job. But I would like for you to let God look in and just ask this question. If I died today, am I 100% sure that I would go to heaven? I'm God's child. I'm a sheep. I'm not a hog. I'm not a dog. I'm a sheep. One woman said to me, she was trying to show me what she said was the foolishness of once you're saved, you're always saved. She said, well, it says in the scriptures, said even a dog returns to his own vomit. And I said, yes, that's a problem, ma'am. A dog returns, but a sheep don't. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what I'm saying is this. Are you saved? Are you born again? I just want you to know that you're God's child. I want you to know that when you leave this place today, that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you're God's child, and you're on your way to heaven. Now, that's not wrong for me to want that, is it? That's the business. That's my business. That's the business of the church, is the desire that you know Christ as your personal Savior. So we're going to pray, and we're going to ask you, please, to respond accordingly as God has dealt with your heart as we pray. Father, I certainly thank you again today for the wonderful goodness of God. I thank you for all the love you bestowed upon us. I thank you for these people that's come today and been so attentive. We appreciate it very much. And Lord, we just ask you if there's any here without Christ, oh God, this will be the day that they realize they're not a sheep of God and they want to come and become a child of Almighty God. I pray for that, asking you deal with their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.